my microphone on. Turn now in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. It's on page 1558 in your pew Bible. It's Mark chapter 4, page 1558 in your pew Bibles. We'll begin reading in verse 24. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 24. "Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he does have, will be taken away." He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the greatest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." The wind immediately died down and was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." My mother loves roses. And so when my father had the chance to get a rose bush, he took it. And so it was that when I was a child, they planted in the backyard of our, behind our farmhouse, this scrawny weed of a rose bush. But before long, that thing grew and grew. So much so that my father divided it in half and planted half of it in another part of the yard. Before long, those two had grown so big, he divided them again and planted them throughout the yards. And it wasn't very long that throughout my childhood, he was periodically dividing rose bushes and moving them to another part of the farm, or giving them away if possible. The kingdom of God is like this. It grows and it grows. It matures and it spreads. And it covers the face of the earth. Now, we understand the process of a rose bush. You know, roots into the soil, absorbing nutrients and water. Leaves receiving sun for the process of photosynthesis, absorbing carbon dioxide, giving off oxygen. There's this natural process. But who among us can explain the kingdom and how it grows? Who among us can understand what nutrients and what elements go into the process of maturing a church, of strengthening the kingdom of God and seeing it expand and grow with vitality and with strength. Well, that's what Jesus gives us this morning. You see, Christ comes to His disciples in our text, and He wants them to understand kingdom growth. How does the kingdom grow? And He begins by saying, well, let us understand how the kingdom grows. You see, in verse 24, He says, consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. There's two steps here. First, to understand kingdom growth, you must understand the right measure. What is the standard for kingdom growth? If I ask you to measure the length of this room and give it to me in feet, if you come in with a meter stick, we're going to have a difficult problem. We're going to need calculators. We're going to need conversion tables. You have the wrong standard. You can't give me the length of this in feet with a meter stick without changing standards. In the same way, Christ says, what's your standard? What is the standard for kingdom growth? There are many, many churches that would have us believe that numbers and finance, budgets, savings accounts, the amount of income and capital that we can command marks kingdom growth. Those that we can fill the pews with, those mark kingdom growth. But Jesus says, if whatever measure you use, you will be measured by. Look around this morning. Look at the little green sheet in your bulletin. Who wants to be measured by numeric growth or finances? My friends, we don't compare with churches that command 10,000 people. Nor do we have multi-million dollar budgets. Is this the measure of kingdom growth? Is this the standard by which we want our churches judged? Are we bigger? Are we richer? Do we command the technology and the facilities that we need in order to be classified as kingdom growth? You know, there are other churches who would have us believe that kingdom growth is measured by adherence to a strict set of principles, by a dress code, by a moral code. Eat this and not this, drink this and not that, wear this and not that. If I adhere to the dress code, if I adhere to the conduct code, if I have this strict set of principles and I hold fast to them no matter the cost, then I'm building the kingdom. But my friends, in this we fail. You know that our testimony comes in a three-ring binder? You know why? Because if we change our minds, we can pull a sheet out. We believe in constant reformation. We believe in the hearts and minds of men being persuaded of truth, so that we can then nuance the precious truths that we've been given from the days of old. No, my friends, we don't believe that stagnant churches have kingdom growth. Nor do we believe that blossoming churches who have set their sights on nothing more than filling pews and adding money to their budget are the standard for kingdom growth. What then is our measure? Well, let's consider what Christ gives us in these two parables. Let's consider that Christ starts with two parables of instruction that He has to explain. You see, obviously the kingdom of God does not grow by our wisdom. I mean, after all, He has to explain the parables to us, doesn't He? Look at verses 33 and 34. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when He was alone with His own disciples, He explained everything to them. He wants them to get the message. He speaks of kingdom growth in these parables, but He wants them to understand. So what does He have to do? He has to get them alone and explain the parables. I mean, otherwise, they don't get it. Otherwise, they don't understand how the kingdom grows. Consider this. We bought a vacuum cleaner a few months back. And like a faithful and dutiful husband, I rip the box open, throw the directions across the room, drop the pieces in the middle of the living room, and go to work. About an hour later, my wife walks in, having read the directions from cover to cover, and put together the mess that I had made of our vacuum cleaner. I was hopelessly lost without directions. And we do the same thing, do we not? We sit in our churches with all the pieces of kingdom growth, with our Bible studies and our worship services, with our youth groups and our VBSs. We have all these programs, all these opportunities, this wonderful facility, the income that God has given us. We have all these things. But how often do we sit there jamming them together like an ignorant husband with a vacuum cleaner? When the instructions are there for us, if we would read them. It's not our wisdom, my friends, this morning. Let's put aside our strategies. Let's put aside our great programs. Let us come with childlike minds to these parables and consider, how does the kingdom grow? Not by our wisdom, surely, but how does it grow? Well, the first parable, let's look at verse 26. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, although he does not know how. Although by itself the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts in the sickle, and because the harvest has come. His first parable comes down to this. A careless tossing of seed. You see, the kingdom of God grows freely by our weakest efforts. You know, I read the NIV this morning. It's the Pew Bible. But each of the English translations have a major weakness at this point. Here's a rendition of the Greek that actually captures the attitude of Jesus' story more. This guy goes out. He's got a handful of seed. And he just kind of throws it out there. And he might go to sleep. He might wake up. He might eat. He might drive down the road. But whatever he's doing doesn't matter. The seed grows. It becomes a plant. You see, that's actually the tone that Jesus uses. There's this offhanded attitude about the sower. It doesn't matter who he is. He's a nameless, faceless guy. He wanders the streets and he just kind of tosses seed about and it grows up. You know, it's like a kid sitting on a front porch eating watermelon. And he spits the seeds over the edge. And then the next thing he knows, he's got watermelon vines all over his front yard. I mean, that's the sort of carelessness that is being described here. My friends, with the most feeble and careless tossing of seed, we can bear fruit. That's what he's saying. Our weakest and most offhanded remarks about Jesus Christ can bear fruit. In the store, in our jobs, our workplaces, walking the streets, in our homes, in our communities. We're talking to a neighbor and the weakest, most offhanded comment about Christ forgives sins. There is salvation, new life in Him. These just quips of phrases bear fruit. They actually bear fruit. These little offhanded tossing of seed bears fruit. It's an incredible thing. The kingdom grows by this careless tossing of seed. But to the second parable, Jesus says in verse 30, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. Can perch in its shade. Have you ever seen a mustard seed? My wife's got a jar of them in her spice rack at home. I thought about bringing them, but every time I tried to pick one up, it fell away. They are tiny seeds. Incredibly tiny seeds. And yet, he says, when you plant this in the ground, it bears fruit of such immense size that birds nest in it. And this last line that he gives, that the birds perch in its shade, is a direct reference to Daniel 4, Nebuchadnezzar's dream. The king of Babylon dreams of this great tree where the branches stretch across the heavens and the birds of the air come and perch in its shade. But in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, the tree is cut down. And Daniel says that this is the king, cut down for his pride and his arrogance. And Christ draws off that image and says to his audience, you remember how great Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom is? Mine's better. Mine's bigger. Mine doesn't come crashing down. Christ speaks of his kingdom as starting from this littlest seed and growing into this enormous thing. The kingdom of God grows enormously by our smallest efforts. Picture it this way. You know the oak out here in the yard? It starts as an acorn. And then it becomes that massive oak. And you want to know what kind of fruit that oak bears? Ask Bob Lash. He rakes up millions of them every fall. It bears this incredible range of leaves. Look out the door in the foyer. The canopy on this thing is incredible. From an acorn. My friends, do you see it? How does the kingdom grow? By this careless tossing of seed. How does the kingdom grow? By these tiny little things. By dropping the word. You're at your job, your store, wherever you go. My friends, speak up. Because the smallest, most careless effort on your part can bear fruit. But where's this coming from? Where is this growth really coming from? Okay, we have these little seeds and we're just scattering them around. But how? How do they grow? What makes them grow? They grow because of the kingdom itself. The kingdom itself bears its own fruit. Look at verse 28. All by itself, the soil produces grain. The soil, you remember, is the picture of the kingdom of God. All by itself, it bears its own fruit. The kingdom of God produces its own fruit by its own power. And this is the reason for our story. Two parables from Jesus. Mark then sticks in our story of Jesus calming the wind and the waves. Look at verse 35. Let us go over to the other side, Jesus said. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up. The waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up. He rebuked the wind and said to the waves, Quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. Christ stands at the prow of the boat. And he says to the wind and to the waves, Still, be still. Quiet, be quiet. And it calms and it hushes. If this man has the power to calm the wind and the waves, then what can he do to the human heart? If he can satisfy the tumultuous roar of the sea, what does he do for our broken relationships? What does he do for the turmoil and the trials of our hearts and our families? Can he not touch God? the most raging heart and say to it, be calm, be still. The power of the kingdom is in its king. The power of the kingdom is in the hand of Christ. It is He who stands and says, be silent, and the hearts go cold. It is He who stands and says, come to me, and they flock to Him. It is He who is the King. The wind and the waves bend beneath His command, and so do human hearts. How does the kingdom grow? By us taking the name of the King and scattering it like a careless sower. By us taking the name and the gospel of the King and dropping it like small seed. Because that name, that gospel, has the power of the King behind it. Electronic equipment is a wonderful thing. But if you don't plug it in, it never works. My friends, our programs, our activities, our outreach, our discipleship, our Bible studies, our facilities, everything about us is wonderful and great, but you don't plug it into the gospel of Christ, it never moves. You don't start with the love of Christ, it never goes anywhere. My friends, the power of kingdom growth is in the King. When it's His name on our lips, when it's His gospel in our hearts, and we love Him and His gospel so much we can't be silent, but it's like seed just constantly being tossed about us. I can't stop talking about Him. He's too wonderful for me. His gospel is too sweet on my lips and it flows out like a man carelessly tossing seed. When we really believe that, when we really feel that, the kingdom grows. And so we come to the end of the story. And there's a question for you in the text. Look at verse 40. He said to His disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? We are guilty time and again of the sin of silence. I, chief among you, have led you in being guilty of the sin of silence. We do not speak of our King as we ought. We do not shed His gospel like careless seed tossed about, like little grains dropped in every ear. And the question that comes to us this morning is it faith? Have we still no faith? The power is in the King. He has hushed the wind and the wave. He has taken hold of the human heart and won it to Himself in love. Do we believe it? Do we believe in the power of the King? Or are we still hoping to measure kingdom growth by our standards? It's a lot easier to do it that way. But it's not what Christ has laid for the standard. The standard for kingdom growth is the manifestation of the power of Christ. The measure of kingdom growth is the glory of God advancing in the gospel. Does Christ's royal power embolden you and encourage you to scatter His gospel like fine seed in the hearts of everyone who asks? There's something, one more to consider. Because I want us to remember that the kingdom not only grows out, it grows in. It grows into our hearts and infests us. It consumes and controls us. So my friends, I want you to consider two things here. Scatter the name of Jesus everywhere you go, both outside the church and in it. Let us not neglect the encouragement of one another to become better kingdom citizens. Let us see it both. My friends, I speak to you face to face this morning, one to one, and I hope it gets to your heart. But I want you to not leave this room thinking this message was one for one you. As one body, encourage each other to do this, so that the kingdom might grow among you as well as out from you. Let us not neglect this. Let us scatter the name of Jesus everywhere we go, both inside and outside these walls. For He is the power to save. My friends, scatter the name of Jesus everywhere you go, for He is the power to save. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you, a weak and feeble people, having too long strived in our own strength, having too long sought to build your kingdom with our wisdom and our power. Father, forgive us this. Father, forgive us this foolishness. But Father, this morning, touch our hearts and awaken our minds that we would be tenderly and keenly aware of your power, that we would rest in your strength, that we, Father, would be made bold to speak of Christ constantly, to let His name drip from our lips with every word, that His gospel would so seize our heart, that His glory would so fill our mind, that whether we speak to friend, whether we speak to enemy, whether we speak to sheep or to goat, to believer or unbeliever, whoever is before us, may we speak of Christ, that we might believe and act on the belief that He is the King, filled with power, filled with the strength to build His own kingdom. Father, bless us today with these rich thoughts. We pray these things in Christ's mighty name. Amen.